What's the best gift that you've ever received? What's the best gift that you've ever received? A couple of Christmases ago, Steph and I received a coffee machine. I don't know if this is the best gift ever, but it's certainly, for me, in the top 10 or something like that. Because as some of you will know, I like a good coffee. And so a coffee machine is an appropriate gift for me. Gifts can tell you all sorts of things. They can tell you about the giver. In this case, the giver of the gift knows me quite well. The giver of the gift is quite generous because, you know, coffee machines aren't necessarily cheap. They can tell you about the recipient. I lacked a coffee machine. Now I have a coffee machine. I like coffee. I enjoy drinking coffee. Now, as we look at today's passage, and there's a lot in it about blessings, we find out about the God who blesses and the people who receive those blessings. So let's begin. Have a look at verses 1 to 2. Verses 1 to 2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul uses the standard letter form of the time, starting off with who it's from, then who it's to, and then greetings. And there are three things to notice here. Firstly, Paul is an apostle by the will of God. He didn't take it upon himself. He didn't wake up one morning and think to himself, yes, today I'm going to be an apostle. It was a divine appointment. Secondly, the Christians at Ephesus are called saints. All Christians are saints. It's not a title that's reserved only for some. It belongs to all. And thirdly, his greeting is grace and peace, which is an appropriately Christian greeting. Because grace, divine favour, undeserved generosity, is the basis of the relationship between Christians and God. And peace is the characteristic of that relationship, rightly ordered and rightly functioning relationships. Let's move along to verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The Apostle Paul praises God. Paul tells the Ephesians that they've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. See, Paul praises God because of what he's done. Notice two things here. Firstly, it's every spiritual blessing. If you think that you lack a spiritual blessing, then Paul says to think again. Secondly, it's every spiritual blessing in Christ. That is, in order to partake of these blessings, you must be in Christ. You must be a Christian. I've got a friend who's very good at winning prizes in competitions. His specialty is the 25-word or less competition. And from that, he's won a whole lot of prizes. And Steph and I have enjoyed the benefits of those prizes. Tickets to sporting events, seeing TV shows filmed, and so on and so on. But in order to have those benefits, we need to be in close association. We rarely see him now, so no benefits. But when we saw him each week, benefits galore. This is a bit like what Paul is talking about here. The blessings are for those who are in close association with Christ, those who put their trust in Jesus Christ. And for the rest of today's section, Paul catalogues those blessings, six in all. And notice also as we go along how often Paul uses the phrase in Christ or in him or in whom. It permeates the whole section and points us to the centrality of the Lord Jesus Christ and the importance of being in him or united to him. So, the first blessing, verse 4. Have a look at that. Verse 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. God has chosen Christians. God has made a decision about who will be his people. And this choice was made before the foundation of the world. God already knew who would be his before the creation. And so if you're a Christian, then you've been chosen by God before the foundation of the world. And Christians have been chosen for a purpose, to be holy and blameless before God, which then tells us two things, what we were before and the goal we ought to strive for now. See, before then, we were unholy and blameworthy. But because of Christ, Christians have been transformed so that they're holy and blameless in the sight of God. And so this is the character of life which Christians are to work towards. The next blessing is in verses 5 to 6. Have a look at that. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons, through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. See, God has predestined Christians for adoption. Now, predestined is one of those words you only find in Christian circles, but it means to plan beforehand what's going to happen. And in the case of God, that planning happened before creation. So it's very similar to what Paul said back in verse 4, except this time the focus is on adoption. This predestination is an act of God's love, and Christians have been included in God's family. Christians are God's children. Now, sometimes people say, you know, we're all children of God, but I'm not so sure that's what the Bible says. It is true that all human beings have been created in the image of God, and so we're all precious to God. But as far as I can tell, the Bible tells us that Christians are children of God and non-Christians are not. Only Christians are the children of God in the fullest and truest sense. And so that's why adoption is such a blessing, because formerly they were not children of God, not in God's family. But now, through Jesus Christ, they are. I was not adopted, and so I can only imagine the feeling that someone who's been adopted has. Perhaps the feeling beforehand of being an orphan, or knowing that they were not wanted by their parents. The feeling of not belonging. But in adoption, you become a family member. You have parents who want you. You belong. Now, on what basis is it that God has predestined? Have a look again at verse 6. Notice, it's the pleasure of his will. God is sovereign in his predestining. God's choice is the ultimate one. His choice is the overriding one. Sometimes people like to speak of human choice or free will, the idea being that humans are able to choose whatever they want. So, you know, apart from any outside influence, people can equally decide between two alternatives. But is this what the Bible teaches? There are many problems with that particular notion of free will, but here are two. The first is the human condition. What the Bible tells us is that humans are bound or chained by sin, so that the human will goes after sin. This doesn't mean that human beings sin at every single opportunity that comes to them, but it does mean that that is the tendency. The human will is bound to sin, so it's not free. It's bound to follow its master. The second problem is free will opposes grace, because on that particular view of free will, God predestines those who will choose him. So that in the end, God's election is dependent upon human choice rather than God's free and undeserving grace. If that were the case, if free will were true, then God's election, God's predestining, would not be according to his will. Verse 6 tells us why Christians have been predestined. It's for the praise of God. And I don't know if you noticed, but as we went through that passage, Ephesians 1, 1 to 14, Paul uses that phrase, or slight variations of it, three times. And the focus is to praise the glory of the grace of God. You see, Christians haven't been adopted so that they'll praise their own worthiness for adoption. Christians haven't been predestined so that they praise themselves. Christians have been predestined so that they will praise God. That's our purpose. The answer to the question, what are you here for, is for the praise of the glory of the grace of God. People throughout time have pondered the meaning of life. What is the meaning of life? Philosophers have thought about it. Middle-aged men have thought about it as they approach their midlife crisis. There have been movies and books about it. What are humans here for? And people come up with all sorts of different answers. Pleasure, reaching your full potential, being true to yourself, making as much money as you can, all sorts of answers to this question. But the Bible's answer is that humans are here for the praise of God. And specifically, it's praising God's grace given in Christ Jesus. It's praising God's generosity shown in Jesus' death on the cross. It's praising Jesus' death as a substitute for sinners. It's praising God's generosity for the rescue mission which Jesus came to accomplish. The next blessing, have a look at verses 7 to 8. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. The next blessing is redemption. Redemption is buying back. It's associated with liberation, with freedom from slavery. See, all humans are slaves to sin, but Jesus has freed Christians from that slavery. And so that's why Paul explains redemption in terms of forgiveness of sins. Those sins committed have been forgotten. They've been passed over. It's as if they had never happened. All those wrongs committed against God and against each other have been forgiven. And this redemption is through Christ's blood, through his death on the cross. It's something which Jesus has achieved. His death as a substitute brings forgiveness of sins. Jesus gives sinners the proverbial clean slate. And this forgiveness is according to the riches of God's grace, his generosity. Notice again, grace turns up. And this grace is lavish on us. It's freely given in abundance. It's like the packet of Tim Tams, which never runs out. Verses 9 to 10, our next blessing. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. The next blessing is revelation. God has revealed, he's made known the mystery of his will. A mystery is just a secret which has been revealed. The mystery is God's plan for the world, once hidden, now revealed. This plan was set forth in Christ, and it's there for us in verse 10. But I actually want to refer you to the New American Standard at this point. That's up there on the screen for you. With a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. It's those last couple of words that I want to refer you to, the summing up of all things in Christ. That's what the plan is, the summing up of all things in Christ. God is bringing everything to a climax in Jesus Christ. And God's plan happens all in God's good timing. Now, why is this a blessing? Why is this a blessing? Well, think about astrology. Or think about tarot cards, or fortune tellers, or psychics, those sorts of things. People want to know the future. People want to know what's going to happen. They want to know where this world is headed. And Christians have the answer. God has made it known to us. The answer is Jesus. Christ Jesus will be the focal point of where all things are heading. And as a Christian, you have been included in those purposes. Your Lord is the center of the universe. Your Savior is the center of the universe. And that should give you a great deal of confidence, not because of you, but because of him. If your Lord and Savior is the center of the universe, what can there be to worry about? Let's keep moving. Have a look at verses 11 to 12. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. Second and last blessing for today. Chosen for the purpose of praising God's glory. This one's actually a little bit different to the other ones, because in the first instance, Paul is talking about Jewish Christians. That's why there's that reference to who were the first to hope in Christ. But this blessing ends up including Gentile Christians as well, because of what Paul says in verses 13 to 14, which we'll get to in due time. The blessing is being chosen. Chosen here is actually talking about being chosen to be God's special possession, his treasured possession. That is, Christians belong to God. And again, Paul talks about predestination. It's a blessing from God, because in the end, predestination is about salvation. Again, Paul says that it is according to God's purpose, God's plan. Paul emphasizes the action of God. And as Paul explains the blessings of God on mankind, the clear emphasis is God is the one who is at work. God is the hero. God is the star. God has the master plan, and everything goes according to that master plan. And notice again, for the second time in this passage, the purpose is for the praise of God's glory. Verses 13 and 14, have a look there. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. The final blessing which Paul lists here is the Holy Spirit. But before he talks about that, he affirms that the Gentile Christians also receive the same benefits as the Jewish Christians in verses 11 to 12, because he says, you also were included in Christ. The final blessing is the Holy Spirit. He is the deposit of the inheritance, being in God's kingdom. If you want to be sure that you've got the inheritance, the Holy Spirit is the confirmation. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. Now, when you go to buy a house or a car or, you know, some other expensive thing, you need to pay a deposit to secure it. Well, that's a bit like the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the deposit. We are the item. The Spirit shows that we have been secured by God. And the Spirit marks you as God's possession. Christians are God's special possession, treasured by Him. And for the third time in today's passage, this is for the praise of God's glory. The sealing is for the praise of God's glory. The purpose of these blessings, which Paul highlights, is that we should praise God. Why do we receive such blessings? So that we remember Him who gave them to us. Remember, Paul started off this whole catalogue with, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." These blessings, which are great and wonderful and excellent, shouldn't cause us to take our eyes off God. Rather, they should be causing us to praise God even more. This passage challenges us to reshape our thinking about God, about Jesus, and about ourselves. So first of all, our view of God. God is the sovereign over all. That includes salvation. That includes our human wills. God has predestined some for salvation. We don't know who they are. And so that means we must call all to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. God acts according to His own will, His own purpose. God shows grace to whomever He wills. You see, all are sinners, so God is under no obligation to show any of us grace. But there is great generosity on His part in that, one, He saves some, and two, the blessings that He lavishes upon them. And this view of God flows over into how we view ourselves. See, is human will completely free? Can we beat God? God must act in the life of a sinner before he or she turns to God in faith and repentance. And so we must ask our God to show mercy on our non-Christian friends and relatives, that He would cause them to turn. Second of all, predestination is a comforting teaching. God Himself has chosen you. In the words of the hymn, you are upheld by His righteous, omnipotent hand. He has accomplished the rescue, and so the glory goes to God alone, which is right because He is worthy of all glory. Well, how about how we view ourselves? Do we see ourselves as blessed? And blessed in terms of Ephesians 1. You may not feel like it. Your circumstances, whether your age or your health or your work situation or your family situation, might be difficult. But those things don't change the fact that for Christians, God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. You have been adopted into God's family. You have been forgiven. You have been chosen from before the foundation of the world. You have been told God's plan for this world. You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. And so this causes us to hold a view of ourselves which often defies our external circumstances. Second of all, do we think of ourselves as existing for the praise of His glory? It turns us away from self-centeredness or human-centeredness and towards a God-centered existence, a Christ-centered existence. It puts us in our place, so to speak. But it's simultaneously uplifting and humbling. Because although we are unworthy, and that's the humbling part, God has included us in his plan. That's the uplifting part. Thirdly, our view of the Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ is the center and climax of God's plan. God's purposes are summed up in him. The whole universe is moving towards this. And so unless we want to miss out, then we must be rightly related to him. We must be in Christ. To receive the blessings which come from Jesus' death on the cross, we must be in Christ. He is the only way. And so if this is our view of God, our view of Christ, our view of ourselves, then our whole identity is bound up with Jesus. Our view of self comes from him. By human judgment, you might be successful, you might be a failure, you might be average. But by God's judgment, you're valuable, you are loved, you are righteous, you're holy, not because of that human judgment or human criteria, but because of Jesus Christ. And our lives are to be lived for the praise of the glory of God. So pointing people to God and not ourselves, not seeking glory for ourselves, giving credit to the Lord Jesus Christ and not ourselves, and remembering that our deeds, whatever they are, should bring glory and honour to our Heavenly Father. Christians have been truly blessed. God has lavished on us blessing after blessing. But over and above that, we have a wonderful God who has generously provided for us our great Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the blessings you have given us in Christ. Thank you for choosing us, for adopting us, for redeeming and forgiving us, for making us your possession, for giving us the Holy Spirit, for revealing your plan to us. Thank you for Jesus' death on the cross. But most of all, we praise you because you are God. You are ruler over all and exceedingly gracious. Father, please help us to see you and your Son and ourselves properly. And help us to live for the praise of your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.